324-0222 in the marriage of Timothy P. Hoster, appellee, and Tiffany Y. Hoster, appellant.
Thank you. For the record, we're having a few technical difficulties, and Justice Albrecht is able to see and hear and also to communicate with the court and with the attorneys. But the video, her video is not being connected. So that, just for your information, that's why you see Justice Albrecht's name and not a picture. And then I've been informed that Mr. Kramer, attorney for the appellee, his video is from his phone. And so but we can see and hear everyone for the argument. So just that being noted, we will ask at this time, Ms. Hoster, if you will turn on your audio, you may proceed.
Okay, good morning, Your Honors. My name is Tiffany Hoster, for the record, the appellee. I'm appellant. I'm sorry. I'm nervous. I'm so sorry.
Sure.
I'm here pro se, not because I wanted to be pro se, but because my ex-husband, prior to filing for divorce, took all of the marital assets and, dispersed them to his brothers and hid some of them. And, so I was unable to have effective counsel. I did pay two attorneys in this case, and, neither attorney was present at the trial. One of the attorneys, which name was Kevin P. McCarty, I didn't know that he was suspended for, I didn't know that he was suspended through the Supreme Court. And so that's why I'm here pro se. So I'm here, asking the court, and because it resulted in my ex-husband receiving more than 90% of the marital assets and all just about all of the liquid assets of the marriage. It's over a 20-year marriage. We were married in 2001. He filed this during a pandemic. There was several false statements that he made in the petition, as well as throughout the entire court process. He filed this December 2020 during a pandemic, when I was also going through a medical issue myself, and received a very serious diagnosis through my doctors, my cardiologist, my rheumatologist. And so I'm just asking, the court for a fair and equitable settlement, because the current one would render me homeless and without any assets.
Okay. Now that goes to the judgment of dissolution that was entered.
Correct, yes. As well as the orders that followed after that was based on misstatements that my ex-husband stated to the court. Statements such as, my wife doesn't work. My wife is a hoarder. Throw her things out on the street. I have been a victim of abuse throughout the entire marriage. The first attorney that I found was through the domestic abuse counseling that I was receiving. So they were referred through that, the very first attorney that I hired. I never received any monies back from any of the attorneys that I paid to help me. The attorney that was suspended even appeared in court, stating that he was working for the petitioner, which is my ex-husband. Also in the petition, it didn't, my son graduated college throughout this process. I was getting him through college. My ex-husband refused to help with the college expenses like he had promised to do so. My son received straight A's throughout all of high school, throughout all of junior high school, and that was promised to him. And that never was addressed or handled. I never received alimony throughout the court process, as well as afterwards, when it was finally ordered, even though there's a large discrepancy in our salaries. And so I've been here trying to figure this all out on my own while I'm dealing with the serious medical issues. I have had some paralegals helping me that I had to pay as well. And I'm just asking for just a fair settlement, somewhere where I could actually not be homeless and to have some type of, and also the home that I live in was purchased with proceeds of my home that I sold prior to the marriage, that I had pr much prior to the marriage. And just basically everything was taken from me. My exes even went as far as I'm burning my items with fire, setting them on fire. He's also went as far as trying to weaponize the code enforcement to come into my home and say that I'm a hoarder and brought all of the contents from the garage into the home. It's been just a 4-year nightmare that I've been dealing with for 4 years. This all started December of 2020. Him hiding money and the abuse, the emotional abuse, the psychological abuse. And then, like I said, the attorney that I paid money to, who said that he would come in and see that I got a fair settlement and see that I received the alimony, never, he showed up in court stating that he was working for the petitioner. I didn't know he was suspended through the ARDC and through the Supreme Court of Illinois. I didn't know that. Kevin P. McCarty, I did not know that when I paid him the monies and he never returned them. And he also did that to 9 other people, according to the from what I read in the court records from that action. And I don't even really even think that the initial that I was even served properly initially when this all happened, because I was dealing with health conditions and just trying to figure all of this out basically on my own.
Ms. Hoster, can I ask you a couple questions?
Yes.
Did you file an appeal before this appeal?
I did.
Okay. And that appeal was dismissed, is that correct?
What happened was I hired a paralegal to submit the appeal, and she stated that
No,
she submitted
not the
it.
reasons that it was dismissed, but was it dismissed? Just simply that question. Do you know if it was dismissed?
I'm not sure what the exact legal term was for what happened. I'm
Okay.
not really sure what the legal term was for what happened.
And then my second question is, the other side is making the argument that your previous appeal was dismissed, so we can't go into the issues that were involved in that, and that we're limited to the issues of post-judgment rulings. Do you understand what a post-judgment ruling is?
No, I'm sorry.
All right. Some of the things that happened afterwards, in looking at your pleadings, I know that the house, the maintenance or alimonies it used to be called, those things after Judge Garcia decided the case, there was also the implementation of that judgment, and we call that post-judgment or after the judgment, right?
Okay.
Now the other side is going to argue that you are just limited to those things, and I just wanted you to be aware of that, so you'll understand that. They're trying to limit this and to dismiss the appeal, and from what I'm hearing, your complaints are from the very beginning of the case to the very end of the case. So I just want you to know that there are segments that may be restricted here. Okay. All
Okay.
right. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
You have anything? I'm sorry, Justice.
Yeah, thank you. Do you want to continue on, Ms. Hoster?
Well, I just wanted to mention that I mean, I'm re really not sure. I just also wanted to mention that right now I don't have the means to that I've budgeted for to stay in my current home, that I've budgeted for it, and that I can afford that amount to pay what I'm paying now and to be able to resume that. I don't know if that's called an oral motion to do that or not, but and that Timothy the Pelly, my ex-husband, he has the means to relocate, and he's physically able to relocate. I don't have the means to do that. Not, you know, I'm not physically, you know, able to do that right now.
Ms. Hoster, I think the divorce judgment was you and Mr. Hoster were to sell the house. Did you understand that?
Yes, but that's what I, one of the things that I was amending in the appeal was seeing if they could amend that in the appeal.
Now, opposing counsel has filed as Justice Heddle stated earlier, is going to say that under the law that those issues, the house sale, etc., were not properly appealed from, and that judgment remains, and that court order remains that the house be sold. Okay.
That's what they're going to say, is that
Yeah, well, yes, they're going to say as a matter of law, you did not appeal that and some other issues you've raised because they were not timely appealed from those court orders. But you do have one issue in regard to the suspension of your maintenance because the allegation was there was no cooperation in selling the house.
and
And
that's
that.
also not true.
Well, but the judge made that finding and then ruled accordingly to suspend maintenance until the house is sold. Now, that issue is one of the issues that you have presented to this court. And would you like to talk to that issue?
I'm sorry, I can barely hear. I'm really sorry.
Well, yeah. Would you like to talk to that last issue I just
The issue
mentioned?
of selling the home.
Yes, the order in your divorce judgment was that the home be sold.
Okay.
And it has not been sold, and the judge ordered that maintenance payments from Timothy to you be suspended until the home is sold. That is one of
Right.
the issues you've raised.
Right, and I also asked for that for the maintenance to be for the stay to be removed. They placed the stay on the maintenance, as my husband did not pay maintenance as ordered, and he did not pay maintenance throughout the entire process. So I was asking the courts also to remove the stay as well. So yes, that was one of the things that I did ask for, was for the stay to be removed as well.
And
And all of everything was based on false statements. My ex had stated that he had moved out of the home March of 2021. And he did not move out of the house March 2021. The house was not sold. Selling the house at this point would render me homeless because he's taken all of the money and dissipated the assets and leaving me to where I would be homeless if that action would take place. He also stated that that was basically, I guess basically what I'm trying to say, the judge made that decision based on false statements by my ex, by the opposing side, by my ex-husband, making statements that I was interfering with the sale, which was not true, and I proved that it was not true. I have several, I had even prepared the home to be sold. I even had three realtors come in to look at the home, and they're stating, they're just making it seem like that I was interfering, which was not true. So everything that happened was based on false statements. That's why I'm asking an oral argument right now, if I can do that, I mean, for an oral motion for the appellate court, I'm asking for an oral motion for the appellate court to amend that, to amend that original judgment. Because the original judgment was based on false statements. It was also, I was also never properly served throughout that court case. I also had, you know, two attorneys that I hired that did not advocate at all. The first attorney was through the domestic violence advocate that was recommended to me. And if she was a non-for-profit attorney, so I don't really know, like, if, you know, what the capabilities was in that case. I don't believe that she was suspended, but the second attorney, Kevin P. McCarty, was suspended through the Supreme Court of Illinois, and I was not aware of that. So based on those facts, I'm asking, this is my oral motion for the appellate court to amend that.
Your time is up at this time.
Oh, I can't hear you at all.
Can you hear me now?
Justice Holdridge, I can barely hear you, but Ms. Hoster, he is just informing you that your time is up. That red light up on your computer there, that means that your 15 minutes has run.
Okay, thank you so much, Your Honors.
You're welcome. Justice Holdridge, do you want to wait and see if you can get
can you hear me now?
Yep,
I can.
Okay, so we'll proceed on. Yes, there's something wrong with this computer here. Okay, you'll have time in reply to reply to Mr. Kramer's argument here, okay?
Okay.
Very good. Mr. Kramer, you may respond.
Okay, good morning. I apologize for my camera.
Not necessary at all.
Okay, I'm just recovering from a surgery and it's been rough. You know, I most of what my argument is in the pleadings and my motion to dismiss and in the brief. You know, all these allegations that aren't contained in any of Ms. Hoster's briefs that she's making now, are completely fabricated and are not true. We are of the position that anything that is asked to be reviewed from the judgment for dissolution of marriage itself should not be reviewed as a matter of law. There was an appeal that Ms. Hoster filed. That appeal was dismissed because she didn't follow through on it. And certainly that was more than 30 days ago after the appeal was dismissed. This is a matter from our perspective where it's Ms. Hoster's effort to delay having to move out of the house. This case began in January of 2021. She was served, despite saying that she didn't have adequate service. She didn't do anything. So we had to file a motion for default. Once we filed a motion for default on, I believe it was the last day that she had to go ahead and file an appearance, or the hearing date of our default, she then went ahead and did so pro se. She then had got four continuances to try to find an attorney. So about 4 months went by in regards to that. And when she did find an attorney, you know, we were ordered to pay interim fees. My client did do that. And then one day in court on some type of a motion call, she asked the judge to dismiss her attorney, which he did. And so this has been sort of an ongoing case that we want done more than anything else. In regards to vacating the home, the problem we've had is that there's still a gigantic storage cube that Ms. Hoster has that's sitting on the driveway of the house that is now getting municipal violations because she refuses to go ahead and have that moved. We made efforts to go ahead and sell the house. We had a realtor come in and we had a realtor reach out to Ms. Hoster. It was only after the judge ordered that realtor be appointed that then Ms. Hoster came up with, you know, realtors that she wanted or what have you on it. But this whole process has been delayed by her actions. In regards to what the judge's order was for the stay of maintenance, I believe what Judge Garcia, was trying to do. I mean, he had ordered her to cooperate to for the sale of the home repeatedly, and each time she interfered with the sale of the home. And so I think he sort of used that as a stick, because the whole idea was that this house was going to be sold. There's hundreds of thousands of dollars of equity in this house, or a couple hundred thousand dollars. So yeah, it's not like when this house sells, Miss Hoster's not going to be receiving any money. She's getting 50% of the proceeds. But because she was interfering with the sale, we couldn't get it sold. And I think Judge Garcia said, hey, if you guys are underneath the same roof, and my client was paying, the vast majority of the expenses, the mortgage on the house, well, I'm not going to have him continue to pay maintenance while she's living there. And so that's the order sort of acted like a stick to encourage Miss Hoster to vacate the residence, so we could get that residence sold. And we still want to get the residence sold. We still can't, because we have her big cube on the driveway, and she resides there apparently now part-time, off and on it, and still has many things in the home.
Mr. Kramer, just a couple quick questions.
Sure.
Does the record support the fact that your client did pay maintenance when he was supposed to prior to having it suspended by Judge Garcia?
Here's my recollection. I apologize. I would normally run the record right now, but I can't see that good. So my recollection was he did pay maintenance when ordered, and then when we filed our motion to stay the payment of the maintenance, that's when he stopped.
So he did an anticipation of a successful motion as opposed to after a ruling.
That is my recollection.
Okay. I understand that you're just saying that by recollection. And then secondly, I mean, do we have a final order here as it relates to these post-judgment issues? If we're, I think you're arguing that the whole appeal should be dismissed, but if we do allow the post-judgment portion of this, it sounds like this is still going on. Is that correct?
Yeah, it is still going on. I think because what the order says, that once the house, or once she's out of the house doesn't even have to sell. I think she just has to be out of the house, then the maintenance resumes. Okay, well, maybe that does resolve itself. Let me think. Would that be a final order? I guess we don't have to go back in to resume the maintenance. It just does by operation of that order.
Let me put this a different way. Do you have any motions pending before the trial court right now?
Let me think. I don't believe I do. No.
Thank you.
Okay, so your position, Mr. Kramer, is that many of these issues on appeal go to the final judgment that was entered in this case, and they were not timely appealed from.
That's correct. Certainly, two of them go to that. The whether the court, her issue, where she says whether the court properly interpreted and applied the law in ordering the marital home sold, and not honoring the original agreement for wife to have the marital residence. There was never any agreement to that.
Okay,
But
so those are the two issions. What are the other issues?
and then the other issue relating to the judgment for dissolution of marriage, that again, we don't think the court should address, given that she appealed and that was dismissed already, was this general language she has that the trial court improperly interpreted the law in dividing any marital asset. I mean,
That
that would,
goes to the judgment of
right?
dissolution. There was
Right.
no proper appeal taken from that in a timely manner. Is that correct? Is that your
Correct.
position?
Yes.
Okay, so Len, let's move on to your suspension of maintenance. What was the procedural action you brought before Judge Garcia that resulted in the suspension of maintenance?
We filed a motion to, let me see if I can find that. We filed a motion to suspend the maintenance, I believe.
Why would you do that? Isn't there a thing
Because,
called,
oh,
isn't
I'm
there a
sorry.
thing called a, excuse me. I
I'm
think
sorry.
there's a thing called a rule to show cause.
We did file a petition for rule to show cause to sell the
Oh,
house. I'm sorry.
to sell the house.
Yeah, we did file a rule to sell the house also. But we filed the motion in regards to the maintenance because they
Well, I'm asking the basic plan. Let's get rid of the in-courtroom petition for rule, which is what Judge Garcia wrote in his order. It properly a rule to show cause why the judgment, why the respondent is not cooperating, basically, in the order of the court to have the house sold. Isn't that the proper procedure?
Your Honor, I believe, and I apologize. I usually am able to run through papers a lot quicker, but I am having a visual impairment right now.
Well, I
But
understand that, but you're well acquainted with the case.
I
I
am
just know.
so my
Yeah.
recollection re my recollection is, and I can see if I can find it, is that we did file a petition for rule in regards to her failure to cooperate in the sale of the home. So I think
Well,
we
it's
did
rule to
do.
show cause. It's rule to show cause.
Okay.
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 And you think you filed a petition for rule to show cause.
Right.
And what are you asking for in that rule to show cause?
Well, I think originally when we filed it, we were asking her to be found in contempt of court for her failure to cooperate with the realtors in the sale of the home. And so,
That's what a rule to show cause is about.
right.
Yes,
So we did
correct.
that. Then I think we requested after that, when that wasn't successful, to have the maintenance stayed. And the reason being was really the idea behind the divorce decree was we were going to get this house sold and party were going to get their 50%. But since they were both living in the house and my client was paying the bills of the house.
Well, those are the facts. So basically, what you're saying is that rule to show cause was basically a contempt hearing for indirect civil contempt, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And it was up to a judge to find the appellant, Mrs. Hoster, in contempt of the order of the court, correct?
Correct.
And then the judge is to impose a sanction if that order is fi if that's finding is made, is that correct?
Correct.
Either another further directive order or some sanction.
Correct.
So, what's your position about the suspension of maintenance?
So again, my position with the suspension of maintenance is in you may be correct that may not be directly related to the petition for rule to show cause as far as the relief granted because we filed a motion also to stay the maintenance. But our position is that the court used that also as a stick to try to enforce the court order to get that house to be sold. And also I think the court did it out of fairness and equity because my client was paying all the bills of the house that they were both residing in for an exceedingly longer period that was than was anticipated by in the divorce decree because of Mrs. Hoster's failure to cooperate to sell the home.
And how would a court of review, what is their standard to judge whether this was an error by the trial court?
Let me take a look what I have here. So I guess the, let's see here. I guess whether it's against the manifest weight of the evidence.
Not abuse of discretion.
I don't want to say something that I don't know. I don't know. What I have here is I thought that it was against whether it was against the manifest weight of the evidence.
Okay. Good answer would be you're not certain.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Okay. you want to continue, you still have some time remaining.
No, Judge. Again, I'm any arguments I'd be making, I already set forth in my pleadings. I would just be rehashing what I have in the pleadings, and I don't know that that's very helpful.
Okay. Any questions from the court for Mr. Kramer?
Justice Albrecht, do you have any questions? I'm gonna ask a few here.
I do
Mr.
not.
Kramer, you heard what I had said to Ms. Hoster about the appeal. Do you concede that the post-judgment issue? So I've been looking closely at the record here as you have been arguing. You did not file a rule of show cause. Actually, Ms. Hoster filed a rule of show cause against her husband for filing for not paying maintenance. That's why I asked you that question earlier. But
Sure.
you did file the motion to stay the maintenance, which was granted pending the appeal. Would you concede that at least that aspect of this case is reviewable or not?
The aspect of
So judgment's entered. She files the appeal. The order, I just pulled it up here. Give me one second. So the judge granted your motion, denied her rule to show cause, and mentioned the fact that it was pending appeal. So one more second. There we go. Respondent having filed the notice of appeal. This is on August 24th, 23. Plaintiff's maintenance obligation is stayed, granting your
Okay.
motion. And respondent's petition for rule to show cause is denied. So
Okay. Yeah, I understand it, Judge, and I'm sorry that brings a little bit more clarity to my recollection here also.
And then you filed the motion shortly after that on January 10th, not shortly, I guess a few months, 3 months, for the realtor court to appoint a realtor to list the residents.
Okay, so I think, and I apologize if I misspoke earlier. My recollections, you refreshed my thoughts on this case with that. So I think what happened was, when the appeal was filed, we went ahead and filed that motion to clarify that, or to get directions from the court as to whether our maintenance should continue on or not continue on during the course of the appeal. That's what it was, because we knew that was going to take a long time, and they were both living in the same house, and my gentleman was paying the majority of the expenses.
Thank
But the last order on review here was dated by Garcia, February 14th, 2024. Is that your recollection, Mr. Kramer?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Any further questions from the court? See,
I have
not
none.
before. Okay, Mrs. Hoster, you may respond to Mr. Kramer's response here.
Yes, based on the multiple untrue and misleading statements, I would like to ask if I can, for the appellate court, to amend the original judgment to state that the house not be sold, because my ex-husband stated that he was moving out in 2021. And that has not happened. He's been coming back and forth to the home, burning, setting things on fire. And these statements that he's making is untrue. Of my failure to cooperate is completely untrue. I had to file the rule to show cause, to get him to make, like, he only made two or maybe three maintenance payments. And I filed like three rule to show causes just to have him do that. And even what the other side is stating, the storage cubes, that proved my point. I was getting the house decluttered for it to be sold. That's why there was a storage cube. I was storing any items that would be conceived as clutter into the storage cube and other storage units, which proves that I was not interfering with the sale of the house. I did everything I possibly that was humanly possible, considering my health conditions that I was also struggling with, and considering the fact that my son graduated from the university in May, getting him through all of that. I was doing all of this at the same time, when all my ex-husband was doing was just trying to prevent paying any monies out. He has access right now to over to about a half a million dollars to move. If anyone has the ability, if anyone who is failing to cooperate, it's him. He has the resources, he has the physical ability to do that, and he has not done that. He has not sold the house. So because of that fact, I am asking if I can do so, an oral motion for the appellate court to amend the original judgment to state that I can keep the house. He's already kept a hundred he already kept over $150,000 in the marital savings. So he already has way more than his share, what is equitable. So it's not like he's out of anything. The house that we live in was contingent upon the sale of my home that I had prior to our marriage. So all of the so most of the equity in the home is my equity anyway from the sale of my home when we first were married. And those all of those proceeds that I the monies that I used to purchase that home was be prior to our marriage. We were married in 2001. So I'm asking the appellate court if, if I can do an oral motion, if that's possible, to amend that. And I can't hear you. I'm so sorry. I can't hear at all.
It's not okay, oral motion.
Okay.
It goes to
Okay.
the original judgment. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Can continue on. Can you hear now?
I can hear you now. Yes.
Okay. Very
Yes.
good. Okay.
And so can I do an oral motion to have the original appeal to be reopened? File
No,
an
you're
oral motion.
no, no, no. You're going to the original judgment that was never properly appealed.
Okay. Well, the last order also stated to throw my things out on the street. Can I, I filed the appeal to have that. I mean, my things were thrown on the street. My things were set on fire. He took all of the money. He's dissipated the monies. He's given it to his brother. I had proof of that. He's been hiding money. The original the attorney that was never paid me back. There's something that's flashing red. I don't know if that's
That goes
coming
to your
through.
last issue, yes, that we're looking at. Okay. Okay. Is there anything further?
The only thing further is that the person that's in the video does not that I don't that doesn't look like Mr. Kramer at all. I don't know who's
Unfortunately, ma'am,
identifying himself as Kramer.
It is Mr. Kramer. I just was in an accident and I injured my eye, so I'm wearing glasses and I'm about 15 pounds lighter, and that's it. But I assure you, Miss Hoster, I am Robert Kramer, your husband's attorney or your ex-husband's attorney.
Okay.
Questions from the court? Further questions?
No.
No. Okay. Counsel Kramer and Mrs. Hoster, we thank you for your presentation in this matter, and it will be taken under advisement, and a written decision from this court will be coming forth.